In the name of the Father and Son, Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. First, I want to congratulate all of us for the choice that God gave to us, a new father to shepherd the flock of Christ in our church and Batawadros. We ask God to bless his service and make it to multiply and make all of us to rejoice in his service and learn from him, and for all of us to offer the life that's pleasing to God at all times. Today the gospel is telling us the famous story about the rising of the son of the widow of Nain. And as we all know, that the Lord Christ rose three people from the dead, the daughter of Jairus, and the son of the widow, and Lazarus. And we all wonder, the Lord saw many people before him suffering, not only this widow, why he didn't rise everyone. And we always look for this kind of a miracle to happen whenever we see someone is suffering. But actually, the miracle was not intended for us to expect a miracle in every time we suffer. Yes, we ask for God to intervene, and maybe he bless and he may show his glory through healing someone who is sick or raising a dead. But this was not the aim. The purpose of the miracle was to tell us about the authority of the Lord and what he can do, and also to tell us about how he feels. Sometimes we do not think of God's feelings. We always think of him as a figure of authority, a being who is able to rise people from the dead, and he can order someone also to die. But we don't think about how he feels. And this is something that was emphasized in the gospel of today, that when he saw the woman, he had compassion. He had a feeling for her, and he told her, "Do not weep." This is something we can trace in the whole Bible. We can see how God moves with feelings, how he's so careful and sensitive about how we feel. Don't ever think that God will be witnessing something from heaven, any of his children persecuted or killed, and he's just watching, as if like it's not something that he cares about. This is not the case. Satan tries to come in the time when we are tempted, when we are suffering, to portray in our minds the image about God who is insensitive, who doesn't listen to prayers. No matter what we do, no matter how eager, how fervent we are in our prayers, he will never listen. This is what Satan tries to convince us with, and this is not the case. God moved with compassion in many occasions. One time when he saw the multitudes, we hear, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them. And he pitied them because they looked like sheep with no shepherd. In another occasion, when the multitude followed him for 3 days, listening to him continuously, we hear him saying, "I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat." He cared about the people and how they felt. He cared about their hunger. He is not only a God of the spirit, he is also the God of our bodies and our souls. We hear this about him in the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. In John 11, at the tomb of Lazarus, we hear, "Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews came who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled." He groaned and he was troubled. He felt the pain and the suffering of the people. He is God who is able, yes. He did not intend this for man to suffer and die. He did not create man to die. Death was introduced to our nature against the will of God. Also, knowing about God's feelings and whom he is and how kind he is, our God who is full of mercy and compassion, he shared our joy and also our sorrow. He attended the wedding of Cana of Galilee, not to be the the guest of honor, but to be just one of the people attending, sharing in the joy of his friends. I am sure that in all of our weddings, the Lord Christ also wants to share with us, here and also in the receptions, unless we have another opinion about this and we do not want him to follow us. He also wept at Lazarus' tomb. Why did he weep? He is going to raise him after 1 minute of the time when he came and wept. He is the one who is in control, but again he moved with compassion. He pitied humanity and how Satan humiliated us because we accepted his counsel. We hear about him in the book of Isaiah. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bore them and carried them all the days of old. In all of our affliction he was afflicted. Do we think of God that he is afflicted with us whenever we are in trouble? Or sometimes we tend to believe that he is separated from us. He is not feeling what we feel. He is God, what he knows about us. Actually, if he was not the God who came to us to live among us and show us how he feels, maybe we would be doubting. But after we knew about him, how he moved with compassion in every case, we know that when we are suffering, he is afflicted. He has also this sense of pain towards what's going on among us. His kindness and his mercy is shown in his patience, and his patience is because of his mercy. The question is, why God is not raising everyone now from the dead? Actually, he is going to do this. This is what he is planning to do. He is going to raise everyone. He doesn't want us to die. But he is waiting until everyone from those people who are called to inherit are on board. The already born and everyone to the last person has come to the earth. By then it is the time for him to make us all to rejoice, raising everyone from the dead. We hear about the Lord in his patience that sometimes we get in a way uncomfortable with. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Many times we looked upon him and say, why don't you interfere now? Why do not you execute justice now? We want to see your glory. Why are you so patient, delaying your coming? And he is not slack or delayed. He is waiting. Maybe someone is going to repent from those people that we want God to punish them. Maybe this is not the time yet. Everything has a time until he comes and executes justice. Look at his patience towards Judas Iscariot. This disciple that was given honor, was chosen to be among those whom he elected in order for them to go and preach the gospel of the kingdom. He was given all the talents that's needed for him to be successful. Above all, he was also entrusted over the treasury. He was a thief, a traitor, and never loved his master. And look at the Lord Christ, how he waited all the time. He never fired him. He never punished him. Even on the day of the Last Supper, he washed his feet among other disciples. Why he was doing this? It is his patience and his love. And the man cut himself by his own hands. The Lord did not do it to him. His patience towards Saul is what made him the great saint, St. Paul. If God would immediately react, as we wish him to do sometimes, he would immediately kill him after he kills St. Stephen, we would lose the greatest apostle in the history of the church. Look also at him and his care at other people feeling. No one is like him when it comes to handling others. He is the one who is above all in dealing with extreme sensitivity with each one's feelings. Not only about restoring others. When he called the Samaritan woman, it's not about getting someone to repent. how he dealt with her feelings, seeing her alone, not with the disciples, not to embarrass her, speaking to her kindly, making her feel like she is equal to him in the discussion, praising her when she answered, "I have no husband." What do we call this? This is kindness, sensitivity towards other people's feeling. When he restored St. Peter, it was also in a private meeting, not to embarrass him before the disciples. Not one word of rebuke, not one word of blame or making him to feel bad. He was extra cautious with him, asking him 3 times, "Do you love me? If you love me, then shepherd my sheep." With Zacchaeus, this one who was despised and hated by all, the Lord also did not rebuke him in any way. Even he looked up to him. Zacchaeus, the man who everyone looked to him from above down, the Lord looked to him up, and he told him, "Today, I have to come and spend the time at your house." While healing the leper, he did not make the miracle by distance. He could have done it. Just saying one word, the leper would be healed, cleansed. But we hear him that he put out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." This leper, everyone avoided. No one wanted to come closer to him. He was cursed. That's why he was leprous. The Lord made sure to touch him first before he cleansed his sickness. Why? He wanted to feel this first. More important than restoring his physical illness, to restore also his emotional affliction that he was going through, feeling that I am hated, I am despised, I am nobody. The Lord touched him, and then he said the word to heal him. Our Lord and God, who is full of compassion and mercy, look at his haste to forgive and accept those who repent. He knew about everyone. He even knows about us. When we come confessing our sins, and then he knows that we are going to sin again, but he still grants us forgiveness. It's amazing. Sometimes when we keep talking with someone and tell him or her, "Why don't you forgive?" they keep telling the history. "I'm not going because he did, she did. I'm not going to try again. I tried this person many times. There is no benefit out of it. I'm done." God not only knew about what we did, he knows about what we're going to do, and he still forgive and restore and accept us. The people of Nineveh, after God already proclaimed their sentence, he still accepted them when they repented and fasted. Look at how he portrays to us the scene when he accepted the prodigal son. It's not about getting someone back home or saying to him, "Okay, come here. Okay, I hope you don't do it again." I think even if a dad would do this, we would call him full of mercy. He restores a son who already wasted his money and he wasted his life in a prodigal living. Coming back home, we would praise a father who just accepted him back. But we hear this as St. Luke describes what the Lord said. When he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. He did not transgress against his father. He didn't do anything wrong. He restored him back while even making him feel how much he is missed and loved. Who is like him? Whom from the people that we know is like our Lord and Savior in his kindness and compassion? Unfortunately, sometimes we are tempted still to believe that he doesn't feel our pain. He is by himself in his own realm in heaven, doesn't feel our suffering. An astonishing example of the Lord's forgiveness in how he dealt with King Ahab. King Ahab ruled over the kingdom of Israel. It was said about him, there was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord. No one was like this king, sold himself to Satan to do wickedness. When the Lord sent to him Elijah to tell him about what the Lord is going to do, the kingdom, Ahab was terrified. He fasted, he put on sackcloth, and he started to weep. And then we hear that the Lord say, he told it to Elijah, see how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring the calamity in his days. How amazing the Lord in giving us example in forgiveness. How this makes us always to feel ashamed when we keep on rejecting the idea that we should like forgive others or give them another chance or try with them once more. Look at him knowing everything and still able to forgive, and look at us. When we harden our hearts, we shut our ears and our minds, it is what it is, I'm not going to forgive no matter what. Look at his care for the broken. Before dismissing Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden, he still dressed them, put on them clothes. Why? They are living by themselves. No one else in the world. They are going to go and find out how they should help themselves. But as a loving God and Father, he cared to cover them, cover their nakedness. They are still beloved children, even while they are transgressors. He befriended the despised. Known about him that he's a friend of the tax collectors and sinners. He looked after the strangers and the widows. God in the Old Testament gave a command that at the time of the harvest, a person who is gleaning, collecting the fruits, should not go with the corners of the field. Leave the corners so the strangers who have no land, no fruits, no one to take care of them, would go and collect for themselves. He cared about those people even who did not know him. They did not worship. The strangers were not Israelites. They did not know him as God and Savior. His mercy and compassion also was shown in his generosity in giving. He rewarded the laborers of the 11th hour as if they worked the whole day. Some people look at this parable and they say, the Lord is not fair. Actually, he is fair simply because he gave to the people who worked from the beginning of the day what he agreed with them. I made a deal with you. A denarii is your wage, a denarii I'm giving to you. If he wants to give extra money to someone who worked half of part of the day, it shows his generosity, not his unfairness. And this is exactly what he said. It's my money. If I want to give it to anyone, why do you bother? It's exactly the benefit and privilege that we ourselves are going to benefit from. We are the laborers of the 11th hour. We still want to be in the same place like St. Anthony, like St. Macarius, and all of the saints. Why? In which way? Nothing in common between us, maybe, except the name of Christ who is upon us. Their lives and our lives, when we put them together, something that's very embarrassing to go into this comparison. But his generosity, I'm going to grant you what I granted to the people who worked the whole day. He granted also the steward who traded with the 2 talents the same reward as the one who traded with 5. He calls the land that brings 30-fold the fruits good, still as the one who brings 60-fold and 100-fold. I wonder if one of us has 3 children and they are on 3 different scales in a school. One is an A student, one is a B student, one is a C student. Still, their father would call all of them good. He is happy with all of them. He praises and rewards all of them. I doubt if any of us would do this. But he does. He is the one who teaches us something that we never heard about it. Being so loving, so merciful, so willing to reward and call people good, when in comparison, we all actually fall short. Our God, who is full of mercy and compassion, also shows how we serve in love. If he would come just to die, we would always praise him for this, just to redeem mankind. But to wash our feet, why would you do this? Who of us actually, even while we claim we love our children, we love everyone around us, who of us would humble himself to the point of washing other people's feet? He called us children, and he asked us to call us Father. Why? What is in common between him and us? He is from a different nature. He is divine and we are humans. He is immortal and we are by definition coming from the earth, from the dust. He still wants us to call him Father. Look at this honor and this kindness granted to us for nothing about us. It's all about him and his compassion. He had time to spare to sit with his disciples in a private place. He had 3 years to accomplish a mission that we still till now are wondering about it and praise him about it. But in these 3 years, he still can spare time to sit with his children. We spend here on earth 60, 70, 80, whatever number of years, and maybe we didn't have time at all to spare to sit with our children. We are too busy, we are running around, and when we are home, sometimes we are busy doing anything except to enjoy the company of those people whom we call the dearest. The Lord had the time. He can spare it because he loved and he showed us how to serve those people whom we love. Today, the miracle of raising the son of the widow is not about wishing that the Lord would raise everyone from the dead. He will. Eventually, he will. It is to show us his authority and above all, his compassion. Never to doubt his love or his mercy, even if we are going through a hard time, even if we don't understand what is going on around us, we have always to trust this. The Lord is compassionate, full of love and mercy. To the Lord always be the glory forever and ever. Amen.